Okay, folks, good morning. Rick here. We are very fortunate today. Hold on one second. Okay, we are very fortunate today to have a wonderful interview with the number one team, okay, in the whole Berkshire Hathaway network. And Ivan, I have to say, by the way, Ivan, if you could hit *6 on your phone so we could hear you, that would be great.
Rick, can you hear me?
Yep, I can. Perfect. And I just wanted to add, Ivan, that, you know, being with the company for 5 years now, being to every convention and seeing you be, I think my first year you were 3, then number 2, and then this year I was the guy who took the picture and posted it before you guys were off the stage. So I was very excited to see you finish number 1. So what I'd like you to do is, just because, I mean, a lot of people are aware of you on the call, but I'd like you to talk about just a little bit about your progression and, you know, time in the business. Give me a little idea of who you are and maybe what you guys did in production last year, if you could, please.
Absolutely. And thanks for having me on the call here, Rick. So
my pleasure.
I've actually been in the business much longer than I'd like to admit. But I started in probably mid-1990s, and I started out in Tucson, Arizona, which, for those of you that know, it's where the University of Arizona is. It's where I graduated. That's where I started my family. It's where I met my wife. And it was interesting, though, because I went through a series of, because in case you haven't noticed, real estate is not a very structured business. You have to make it structured and have the discipline, or it just ends up being a part-time option in your life. And I had no discipline and no structure, or if I did, I was going down the wrong direction in my efforts. And what ended up happening is I went from Tucson, Arizona to San Diego, where I trying to get my niche. I had an uncle in the business in San Diego, and I went to go work for him. And I couldn't figure that out. And then I got into management. I couldn't figure that out. And then finally, I had the good fortune of my parents moved from Southern California to Las Vegas for business purposes, and it was right as Vegas was booming in the early 2000s. And they invited me to come out and suggested that I consider moving out to Las Vegas. I moved out to Las Vegas. I met up with Florence Shapiro. As many of you know, she ended up being my partner, but became my mentor for about 15 years, 16 years. And every day I got to, you know, speak with her on the phone. I started out as one of two buyer's agents that she had and ended up being her partner in 2005. We started the Shapiro & Shure Group, and Shapiro & Shure, she definitely had the local footprint and the market knowledge and the wisdom. I had a little bit of the wildness and a desire to do things differently in marketing and going out of state and online stuff. And together we created a fantastic business. As of the last 3 years after she passed away, the name was required to change, and we changed it to the Ivan Shure Group. And last year we did just under $270 million in volume.
Wow. And you know what, Ivan, it's so awesome that you brought Florence's name up, because I remember I only got to speak with her a few times, talked to her on the phone a few times, but I mean, what a reputation. I went to the funeral. I mean, it's just what a mentor for you to have, through your career. I mean, just awesome.
I couldn't have been more fortunate in that regard. She's from a level of character to work ethic to wisdom and insight, it just doesn't get any better.
I have, and you know what, that's all I've seen, because even since her passing 3 years ago, I have never met, she reminds me of kind of like Warren Buffett. You just don't meet anybody that doesn't like her or her.
You're right. You know, so you're 100% right.
Yeah, it's like that's an amazing place to come from. And I like what you said, you added a new wrinkle and twist to the marketing, and that's what I've seen, especially like when Mark and I did that wig meeting with you guys a few years ago. What a great group of tell them a little about your team, because I think you have a tremendous group there.
Well, you know, you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with. And
right.
I really believe that. I have the greatest team the greatest group of agents, the greatest administrative support, and in so many of my team members, whether they're agents or their admin, see things bigger than their individual position. They see things as for the good of the business, for the good of the team, because they know ultimately that means that when the team succeeds, then they succeed. And so I really, really, really am beyond fortunate with the team that I have. I've undergone some changes with my team, which I'm happy to talk about if you feel that it's relevant in the last, few months in terms of how, you know, from growing the biggest team in the country to having the best team in the country. And it goes back to, you know, what Florence's words were. She said, I never want to be the biggest. I want to be the best. And it's very easy to let a big team start to, you know, as you grow it, it's very easy to let that kind of take over and go a little out of control. And one more great person, and one more. And all of a sudden, I personally, you know, began to lose my identity a little bit. And so we had to scale back and restructure. And it was one of the hardest things, because I meant telling people that I care about that maybe the time isn't right for us to work together. Time to look at other options, people that have been with me for years. But ultimately, it's helped me redefine the goals for the next you know, 5 years in business, and it was super important to do. And I'd had some suggestions and pressures from business advisors and coaches and people on my team with insights, as I mentioned, beyond just their own position. And it took a long time for me to finally go from acknowledgement to action. And you know, as a result, I'm sitting here with a more streamlined team and a focused team, and more importantly, a positive team. There were people that were producers but weren't positive; they were negative, and
right.
They had to go. So things like that. But I'm not sure if that was the question. But that's
yeah.
Okay. But
no,
I don't remember what it was.
No, that was very, very good. Now, I was telling you to tell them a little about the team, and I think that's a really good description. I love what you said about Florence's words about, you know, we don't need to be the biggest, we need to be the best. And that's what I see with you guys, with that meeting we did, and I think that's great. So, and you know what, when you're a team like yourself, I think a lot of people get a little, you know, once they've been on the team for a while and they're seeing the production, you know, two things. I think number one, I think you can get people that can get complacent, which is never good for a team. And number two, I think you get a little jealousy and, like you said, a little negativity in there. So now that you've streamlined and all that good stuff, what is the goal for the Ivan Scheer team for next year?
Well, you know, it's twofold. You know, we had several sets of goals, both volume-wise, but I had a personal goal, which I guess the specifics aren't really important. But more of what's important is the concept, because it's so easy to keep wanting to get bigger and higher volume and higher volume and go from 250 to 275 to 300 to 350 to 450 to 500 million, which is ultimately our goal. But more important to me and to the team is profitability, which means looking at where we're spending money, looking at where our highest production activities are, cutting things that aren't necessarily that we're doing just because we're used to doing them or because we think our sellers want them, but really aren't producing the results that we need to produce. And having just more of a discerning attitude on what we and a discerning principle on what we utilize in moving forward with our marketing and with our expansion and you know, one of the goals that we've been working on. And for a reason that'll make sense in a minute, is opening up a Newport office or an Orange County office within the Berkshire Hathaway network. And we're, you know, I got my license, we're there. My goal is not to sell more there individually, but my goal is to have a handful of people in the Newport area that are experts that act as a conduit, because so many of my clients in my price range, which is a luxury market for those that don't know, have multiple residences, and many of them are in the Orange County area. They know me already because I help them with the Las Vegas properties. I market out to Newport and Orange County, so they receive my marketing. So the Ivan Scheer Group is, I would say, for 30% of the people out there, is not unknown.
so it's not a new market. And so that's it's another revenue source and another opportunity to bring buyers to our current listings here in Las Vegas.
Cool, yeah, and I think that's great. And I can hear Mark Stark's voice in that conversation of revenue versus expenses, right?
Absolutely. Net profit is what it's about. Absolutely.
Yeah. Plus, I understand that you also, a friend of mine I used to work with years ago, Kenny Goodfellow, I think you go to his programs too, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's part of the my foundation in decisions that I make. And you know, I speak with him once a week. I attend his events. I would say he is the business person's coach. It's, you know, there's a place for everybody. There's a place to learn about prospecting and coaching there. There's a place to learn about, you know, I guess hiring and firing. And what Ken does for me and for the team is he creates an outline and a business structure. And he does discuss things like next steps and when to fire and when to hire and looks at the financials. You know, having financials is important. Profit and loss statements, he helps us with those.
Yeah, and when Kenny worked for the Mike Ferry organization, when I was doing my land developing and building, he was my coach for about 2 years. Great guy. I used to call him Kenny G.
Yeah. Kenny G, that's funny, yeah.
Kenny G, like a musician, except he's not. And I love the, because he's a hockey coach forever, you know, and especially where he's from with his accent. He's a great guy, too. Love Kenny. All right, so I know I have to ask you this because I know people are thinking of it. We all know you work in the luxury market and you've sold some really, you know, expensive homes to some stars, some entertainers. So do you feel comfortable giving us like one of your most interesting people that you've sold a large home that you can tell us about a little?
So absolutely. And typically it'd be very difficult for me to do because of the fact that, you know, it's interesting. You'll find that people, there's two types of people out there in the world. There's those that live for the flash and the fame and the fortune, and then there are those that kind of try and fly under the radar. I tend to be in that second category, and because I'm that way, my clients hire me. People don't want all of their private stuff. All over the news, all over all online, and we really do our best to respect that. So that being said, there is one client, which is definitely big enough and interesting enough to talk about, that wasn't the case, and they wanted, there was a lot of exposure done on it, and that was when I sold David Copperfield his home in Summerlin, and it was just under $18 million, I think it was $17.5 and change. And I ended up representing the seller as well. So it was a really great, wonderful transaction. It was interesting because you're dealing with billionaires. And, you know, and some of them are a little eccentric in their requests and wants and needs. They're great people.
Right.
And that was definitely a highlight of my career, is selling that property. The home, it was like being in a hotel. And the interesting thing is, when I say like being in a hotel, I mean the size of a hotel and the scale of things, the furniture choices. It was just this massive home, and the equipment used to run it, you know, you don't just your typical HVAC system, you know, you've got a boiler room, you've got all sorts of things, very commercialized. But that was an awesome, awesome experience.
Yeah, and it was actually, that one was in the news and all over Berkshire Hathaway and stuff too.
And that's why it's so easy.
And I didn't want you to, and I know that you have definitely confidences and so forth, but that was a great, great story. All right, so obviously, you know, 270, I mean, what you guys do from a transaction standpoint is amazing, okay? So from a team standpoint, why don't we do this? Because I know there are people on this call today that are starting teams, are going to already have teams. So why don't you give them a couple pointers for running a really good, effective, and efficient team?
Well, first of all, it's definitely learn as you go. I mean, there's when Florence passed away, I was her partner at the time, And it's one thing to be someone's partner who started the business, and then it's another thing to be the founder of the business. You know, I had to learn how to be a principal in a business as opposed to sit back and letting somebody who started the company run the company. So I know that wasn't your question, but there's that part of it.
Right.
For me, Rick, running an efficient business means making smart choices in hiring, number one. Ken always mentioned to me, and I'm sure Mark did too, hire slow, fire fast.
Right.
You know, you take your time when you're hiring, and you go through the process to make sure it's a fit. Because when you have somebody that is a negative on your team, it'll drain you like you have no idea. Because mentally, you second guess yourself. You think maybe that person, I'm seeing things wrong, let's give them a little bit more time. As you're giving it a little bit more time and giving them the benefit of the doubt, they're infecting more people. Then you have a negative in your office. So make sure you hire the right people. And the other thing is, don't just hire to hire. Don't just see a good agent and say, I'm going to hire a good agent. Have a business plan. Decide how many people you're going to have on your team and stick to it. If you end up going over that business plan, I'm sorry, if you end up having more great people coming to you, it's okay to say no, or to say, you know, at this time, you know, I'm not hiring, or to hire somebody and let somebody else go. But have a plan in running your business. And as I mentioned, have great people all around you. The other thing is, and Mark and Tina both said this, you know, working in your business is important, but working on your business is just as important. So you need to have a balance of selling homes. I still sell houses a lot. I hope to continue for a long, long time. You know, a balance of actually doing the work that your agents do or that you'd like your agents to do, as well as planning the growth of your business. That's the on part of your business. So it's a lot of planning. It's a lot of kind of falling on your face, but having a plan in the process.
Right. And planning, and I know working with Mark, planning is something that you've really had to work on because you know, when you're working with people and you have like high emotions and you love the high, I mean, sometimes reducing it to a plan can be really tough, right?
Say that last part again. If you do what?
I said sometimes reducing it to a plan can be really tough.
It's very tough. And it's interesting. I've become more systems oriented than I was, but it's about the systems. It's about having systems in place. It's about having procedures in place and having a plan. And you're right, it's not easy. And sometimes that means bringing somebody on that can help you with that process because it has not been my skill set to have a business plan and stick to it. But I have people around me that keep me in place.
Right, and that's the point I'm trying to make is that we all know our strengths and weaknesses. And I don't know if you know this, but before I went back to Mike Ferry and ultimately moved to Vegas, I went in and helped Chris Heller run his team for a whole year in San Diego. And we did 168 sides that year. And I remember, because I was going on listing appointments, I just got licensed to go down there for a year. And one of the things I used to joke with coaching teams is, look, do you have a team or do you have a herd? Because a herd is totally different than a team. A herd is a whole bunch of people but a team, there's systems, there's processes, there's a business plan, and I think that's what you're talking about, right?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. There's all those things, and it's something that you revisit, you know, monthly, quarterly. It's something and the parts of it that you look at daily, and the planning part of it's super important as well because you don't want to find out too far down the road that you're off track with a big business because it'll wipe you out. With expenses,
right,
and with morale, so you want to be on top of it from the beginning.
Yeah, that's the key. So, all right. So, with all your experiences, you've been in the business since the mid '90s, like you said, and if you could, and I love asking whether I interview people on a team or if you were starting over again today, okay, or if you were an agent who's maybe not fulfilling what they think they could do as far as what's possible for them. Knowing what you know now, if you could turn it back, what would be the three most important things you would tell a newer or, like I said, an agent who's trying to get to the next level?
Well, it's great questions. And I think and I think about that, I think the most important thing that I did as an agent, because I, if you remember when we started, I told you I lacked the structure. I told you I lacked
right.
the discipline, and I'd go, I was not successful early on. And financially, had financial difficulties, had to take out loans that my parents had to co-sign for me, I mean, just to survive.
Wow.
First of all, what I would do is, or what I would do, if, or what I'm thankful that I did do, which I'd encourage somebody else to do, is buy into somebody else's system for a minute. And what I mean by that is, several things. Number one, joining a successful team. So joining Florence Shapiro and her team and becoming a part of her team was the single greatest thing I could have done, because, it sparked my belief in the business. At that stage, when I was 30 years old, when I joined Florence, I didn't believe that people needed realtors. I thought that, anyone could do it on their own. Why would, I just hadn't bought into the system yet. And,
right.
After a few years of being with somebody successful, learning their successful-minded techniques and mental attitudes, all of a sudden, it made sense to me. It clicked. And she had systems in place that I got to plug into and learn, and then later on adopted. So joining a successful team is number one. Number two, be having a great coach. Having a great coach.
Right.
And Coach Ken, I've been with him since, early 2000s because of Florence. And he's been phenomenal. He's been really great. I can't say enough good things about him. Mark has spoken at his seminars, and he's going to be coming down and speaking at some of Mark's. He's exactly what I needed. And then number three, surround yourself with excellent people. I really believe that if you're having difficulties in life with people and friends, or in life, it's based upon the people you associate with. So the key to my success right now is the people around me. And then I'm even going to add another one, which is so
okay.
huge. Be authentic. In this business, when you see these, it's so easy to put somebody on a pedestal or look at the flash going on, what this person's doing, that person's doing. That person's got their own struggles. Be authentic to you. If wearing a suit is your thing, then you be authentic to that. If dressing down but being, casual but professional is your thing, then be that. Don't be somebody else's version of you. You should be you.
I love it. I love it. It's funny because in Success Series and in my coaching with the company, I teach people that enthusiasm and being authentic will make up for most of the shortcomings that you perceive yourself as having.
Absolutely.
All right, cool. All right, so I've asked you all my questions. I was thinking, so maybe if you wanted to share a little bit of the process you went through recently, because it sounded like you started to talk about that as far as streamlining and what are some of the things that you've done to, go to the next level with your team. I think it would be helpful for them.
Well, we touched on it, but I'll go a little bit deeper. I felt that as my team was growing, I felt like I was losing the identity of my brand, and the brand is so important. And I was losing control. I was losing
right.
control of the business a little bit. And I was becoming more of a brokerage than a team. And there's a difference there. And and I was also having some of the negative talk or drama going on in the office or the gossip, which is instant death for the morale in a company and in a business. So the first thing is to identify that you actually have a business, whether you're one person or 50 people. You own a business. You're the owner of a business, and treat it like a business.
Right.
That's the first thing. The second thing was to look at what are the next steps, because I have a satellite office right now, and I have 3,500 square feet, and before this transition, I had probably 26 agents, and about 15 admin. So it's a big business for me anyway. And
right.
And so what's happened as a result of this is I've scaled back to about 17 agents. I have on the administrative side, I've dialed back people that had been with me for such a long time, who I cared for dearly, but I was only keeping them because of that relationship. And
right.
it was inefficient, and there are better ways to do it. So I've scaled back the team. And the second thing that I did, which was interesting, and by the way, and in doing that, and I also let go of people that weren't producing as much or were negative as agents. And in doing that, the people that were productive, even if they were friendly with those people, they respected and honored their placement on the team more, and they became thankful, and they got excited. And also in doing that, the second thing that I did is I went from my satellite office back into the Berkshire Hathaway office system. So, you know, so as of the end of this week, we should be officially part of the Summerlin office. And from an expense standpoint, it's wonderful because expenses are not nearly, you know, not nearly to the level as it is being a part of my, you know, my own office. But more than
satellite,
that,
yeah.
just from it. More, sorry?
I know. I'm not just saying, yeah, and then moving into there and then versus the satellite, yeah.
Yeah, and then, but more than that is the infrastructure that I've needed or that I had that like hit and miss on my own is now there and available for my team, which allows all of us to go out and sell, which is what we do best.
Yep.
So from a financial, from a morale, from an infrastructure, from a growth opportunity, from every possible level, I've reevaluated, restructured, and am poised to have this year be our best year.
Awesome. And I was just there last Thursday doing some training, and I saw your the construction. It looks like they're almost done. You got to have a great little setup there. That's awesome.
Thank you. We're very, very, very excited.
My pleasure. Well, perfect timing, my man. Ivan, I just want to say thank you very much for allowing me to schedule this in and take, you know, 30 minutes of your time. Man, this has been incredibly awesome. This will be available on my podcast and on Podbean, and I will social media it everywhere as I do. So really appreciate your time, my man. Thank you very much, Ivan.
Thanks, Rick. Take care.
All right, you too, bud. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.